you look at their faith statements, it will say that a lot of the things that we read about. But when it comes down to it, they say that Jesus is my older brother. Jesus is not my older brother. He's my creator. They'll also say that he's also Satan's older brother. Let me tell you something, guys. Jesus and Satan ain't brothers. You see, when we add anything else other than what this says about Jesus, we're not talking about Jesus of the Bible. And that's why we have to be careful. So let's dig into these last verses now that we got that out of the way. Y'all can breathe. Because there is some good news. Verse 4, look what it says in verse 4. You are from God, little children, and you have overcome. Let's just stop right there. I know he says overcome them. But after he's talking about this spirit of Antichristos, why does he bring in this part where it says, you have overcome? And you see, the reality is because Jesus knows that we constantly battle the voices that are in our head. How many of you got voices in your head? I experienced a couple of those voices yesterday about 10 o'clock. Those little voices that are, Scotty, you need to say this. Scotty, you need to do this. Scotty, you need to do this. And I'm going to be honest with you. With the day we live in, there are so many voices, there are so many people biding for our attention that it often becomes very confusing by what I hear and hear. And I'm a very, very simple-minded person. So when somebody talks to me, I only like one voice at a time. The only problem is in here, man, it's crazy. Some of y'all ought to get up in here and see what's going on. I'm serious. It is crazy. And you want to know when it's craziest? For some reason, it's craziest at 2 in the morning. That's my people. That's my people. They understand. Because there's a lot going on at 2 a.m. in the morning. There's nothing going on in the world at 2 a.m. in the morning. But Scotty's brain is just cranking, thinking about this, thinking about that, thinking about all these other things, thinking about what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil, what's of God, and what's of the world. And it becomes so confusing that it is honestly hard for us to hear the voice of God. The book of John was written to a group of people who were battling a lot. You got to understand, this was an early church, but this early church had a lot of the same problems that we have going on today. They had televangelists with no TV. They really did. They had people that were trying to sell them a Jesus that was not Jesus, especially with the Jews. The Jews were trying to sell Jesus plus all the Old Testament things that went along with it. That's why Paul wrote half of the New Testament, just to counteract what was taking place. Because people said, if you were of Jesus, but you were not circumcised, you still didn't get into heaven. If you were of Jesus, but you ate shrimp, you didn't get into heaven. If you were of Jesus, but you ate bacon, man, it's going to be bad for you. Praise God, Jesus gave us bacon. I love bacon. I was told not to talk about food. Sorry. The reason is simple. One of the battles that we have as believers really comes down to two things. And it is the two things that this whole book talks about. One of our biggest battles, the two parts of our biggest battle, comes down to our worth, and our identity. Worth and identity. How many of y'all have those days where you get home from work and you just feel absolutely worthless? There are so many days I want to go back to work with Ricky Rich. I'm serious, guys. There are so many days that I want to go back and I want to get on a bulldozer. Because at the end of the day, when I was on a bulldozer, I could look back And I could actually tell that I had done something. In my life today, there are weeks that I look back and I didn't do a dang thing. I didn't do a dang thing. And when we have those feelings come about us, we feel like we're not worth nothing. So when we're not worth nothing, what do? That's our natural tendency. We start trying to find things that bring value to our life. We try to add on another committee or another board to be a part of. We try to bring about all these things because we think these things bring about value. Why can we not wrap our mind around the fact of the value that Christ put on us by giving his life for us? Why can't we embrace that? Why can't we embrace that that is enough? I got to sit down, guys. I'm sorry. I forgot my belt, and we might go PG-13 if I don't sit down for a minute. When we start chasing for other things to bring us worth or value, a lot of times that's how we get caught up in sin. That's exactly how we get caught up in sin. Because you see, many preachers won't tell you this, but most sin feels good. It felt good for a few minutes to give that umpire a piece of my mind. And then I beat myself up the rest of the day, called and apologized to the rec director, apologized to all the parents who heard me. But it felt good for a minute. But here's what gets me. In that moment of me giving in to that sin, all those people know who I am. All those people know my identity. And that sin caused me to forfeit my identity. This is a battle for us every day. Our worth is seen on the cross. Our identity is given to us by our Creator. Why do we look anywhere else? Why? And the reality is this. We're humans. We base a lot of things off of feelings. And feelings lie. You know what I didn't feel like yesterday? I didn't feel like I saved. Why? Because I didn't act like I was saved. So what did that do? That tore up my whole day. Just by that little lie. Man, if you was really saved, if you was really pastor, you wouldn't have acted like that. Good thing is, I've been to a lot of ball games, and I've seen a lot of pastors do a lot worse, so I'm... I've been to a lot of games and seen some music ministers get a little bit heated too, but anyway, it's just who we are. But my feelings can lie to me, and your feelings can lie to you too. And that's one of those battles we struggle with. We struggle with this huge battle that there is no way this could be me. When people don't feel valued, they get lost. And I'm not talking about we lose our salvation, because we don't lose our salvation, but we get lost in who we are. You know, my early years of ministry, when I was working with the youth, every once in a while, you would have a... what's the nice way to put this? You'd have a problematic student. And this student would just be one that was constantly going for rebellion. And one day, I'd come to the end of my wit with this young man. I was ready just to wash my hands up of him and completely give up on him. And it was just me and him. We were walking around the back, and I just asked him. I said, why do you do the things you do? Why do you constantly rebel, not only against your mom, not only against your dad? Why do you constantly rebel against the school, against me? And what he told me next ripped me apart. He said, sometimes it's the only way I can get any attention. You see, because sometimes even negative attention is still more attention than what they're getting. And at that moment, I realized this. That boy had no worth. He felt like he was absolutely worthless. He felt like nobody valued him. Nobody gave him a few minutes of his time. So, started mentoring him. And it wasn't me that did it. It was the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. But when that boy knew that somebody was going to listen to him, somebody was going to pay attention to him, he started to have some value to his life. And within a year, that young man found his true identity. You see, even on both sides, whether you're a believer or not, we all struggle with worth and value. We all want to be worth something. We want to be people who are valued by others. And unfortunately, we live in a day where people don't value people anymore. We live in a day of Facebook warriors. TikTok, well, I'm not even going to get into it. But we do live in a day where it's hard to get a nice word from anyone. It's no wonder people feel like they have no worth. It's no wonder people never get an identity. They battle this. We battle this. But there's another thing we battle. Because in verse 5, he goes into this. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We make things a lot harder than what they really are. Last week, I want to thank y'all for how y'all generously blessed Pastor Emmanuel. Y'all were able to send $6,000 with him to help him bring about this mission. Awesome. But he was, you know, and I got to talk with him a little bit more and had to use interpreter because Scotty doesn't speak French. I barely speak English. One thing that stuck out to me was when him and Jim were traveling, you know, he was talking about how we have many roads here. We have many roads here. And that's very true. We are a blessed nation. We are an extremely, extremely blessed nation. And when I was sitting there thinking about all the roads that we have, the one thing that came to my mind was all the opportunities that we have just because we live in the blessed nation that we live in. And you know, a lot of people left with some guilt. And I get it. I left with some guilt too. Because we have all this access. And most of those people are living with absolutely nothing. But I want to help you understand something though. It is not a sin to be blessed by God. Did y'all hear me on that? Because I think this is another problem that we have. We think that it is a bad thing to have the blessings that we have. You ever thought about this? The richest man to ever live on this earth was Solomon, a man who believed in God. So was it a bad thing for him to be blessed the way he was blessed? No. We have many opportunities. Our children are blessed with an education system that helps propel them to do some of the things that they desire to do. Miss Hannah, I'm really hating that she's wanting to go be a nurse, because I know that one day we may lose her as a children's minister, and I'm really dreading that day. But God has blessed her with that opportunity where a college actually seeked her out to enroll her to their college program. Why? Because she has a desire to help people. You know what else is not a bad thing? Being blessed is not a bad thing, especially when it comes from God. But having a desire is not necessarily a bad thing either. You see, we think it's a bad thing to desire nice things. Every single one of us have nice things. We may not have $2,000 sneakers. We may not have that Mercedes Benz. But all of us have nice things compared to other parts of the world. And where the problem comes in is when we feel guilty for this, we very rarely feel thankful. When's the last time you thanked God for the car that got you to church this morning? When's the last time you thanked God for the clothes on your body? I'm wishing he blessed me with a belt right now. When's the last time you thanked God for your house? When's the last time that you thanked God for any of the blessings that he's given us? When's the last time you thanked him for being blessed to live in the nation that we live in? To not have to worry about somebody busting through the door and arresting every single one of us for worshiping Jesus. You see, our mindset is so warped because of the things that we're battling that are not real and are not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So what's he talking about with this worldliness? Well, a lot of times, y'all heard me, it's not a bad thing to have a desire to do something in your life. A lot of times we will use God as justification for doing the things that our heart desires to do. We'll say things, I really feel like God wants me to do this. Be careful with that. Or I really feel like this is the college that God wants me to go to. Be extremely careful with that. Or I really feel like this is the job that God has for my life. Again, be careful with that. There's nothing wrong with having those desires. There's nothing wrong with having the goals. There's nothing wrong with having a career. But where it comes bad is when we use God as justification to do what we want to do. Because that's what the anti-Christos or the false prophets do. They manipulate God to get what they want. And that's where that spirit arises in us. You want to go to this college? Do it for the glory of God. You want to do this career? Do it for the glory of God. You want to have 2.3 children? I'm not sure how it's possible. But do it for the glory of God. You want to make a good living for you and your family? Do it for the glory of God. You don't need the excuse that you think God wants you to do it when he told us from the beginning to be fruitful and multiply. But you definitely don't need the excuse for it when he has already blessed us with so much. Quit using God to justify your motives. Do it for his glory, for his purpose. And don't allow that spirit of anti-Christos to well up in you. It makes me sick. It makes me sick to see half the things that I see on YouTube. Half the things that I see on shorts and reels. Especially when it's talking about Jesus. Because unfortunately, we live in a day of Facebook faith and TikTok theology. And that's where a lot of people get their understanding of who God is and what their purpose is for their life. But most of those people will say, God wants me to do this. Turn back one page with me to 1 John chapter 3, because I want to make this loud and clear. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. You want to know what God wants for you? This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son, and that we love one another just as He commanded us. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for us. Everything else is just icing on the cake. So when we're talking to people about Jesus, we've got to be real about who He is. We've got to be real about who He or why He came. We've got to be real about all this, because if we are not careful, that spirit of the Antichrist will well up in us. And I'll be honest with you, we're not much different than a false prophet. The writer closes out with this last verse. And I really want to explain this last verse as we close. We are from God. Who's he talking about, we? Anybody know? Go ahead. Actually, no, he's not. No. Actually, no, he's not. Actually, he's given a testimony to the apostles. We, the apostles, are from God. Listen to what he says next. He who knows God listens to us, who listens to us. How do we listen to the apostles today? You see, everything that I say, everything that I've said today, it didn't come from Scotty. It came from what they've taught me. And brothers and sisters, if we're teaching anybody anything other than what the apostles have taught us about Jesus through the inspired word that God gave them, this is God-authored, man-penned, we're not proclaiming the same Jesus. We're proclaiming a different Jesus. And our church, and I'm not talking about Harmony Grove, I'm talking about the church of today, really needs to be careful with this. Father, the depth of your word cuts. It cuts me to my core. But I'm thankful that it cuts me that deep. Because it's in the depth of my core to where all of those things, Lord, that don't look like you, that aren't of you, that's where all of those things reside. Your word has told us that we need to pull these things out like a root in our heart. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you would help us to unroot anything that is other than the Christ that you have told us about in your word. Help us to hold true, Lord, to what you've taught us, to what you have spoken to us through your prophets, through your apostles, because this is your letter to us. Father, you didn't send us here without any understanding or any knowledge. But Lord, there are many voices. There are many voices that pull at our attention. This morning, Jesus, please help us to hear from you. We love you, because you loved us first. You gave your life for us. Now help us surrender our life for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.